Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on January 4th, 2015, and is entitled Multiplying Life Teams in 2015.
I wanted to take this occasion this Sunday. We are looking at introducing our new year theme here at Hope Chapel. And before we do, you can see it on your bulletin. It's listed in a little logo there, but let me just go down memory lane with you. Some of you, it's helpful for you. I know it is for me. When Ainsley and I and our three children arrived here in Huntington Beach to pastor this great church, it was in 2002. Matter of fact, February the 10th, 2002 is our first Sunday. And that next year, 2013, we started off doing themes. And the first theme we felt God led us to was really growth in me in 2003. Now, doesn't that sound self-seeking, self-focused? It was a great year. There was a lot of intentional discipling and elements that were laid in place, growth in me. 2004, we had giving Christ more in 2004. And man, our missions, contributions, and involvement was off the charts. Things took off, and it was really a unique God thing that was happening in people's generosity and time and in substance and just involvement. 2005, we had keeping prayer alive in 2005. We were having just unique times of prayer meetings and gatherings. Our chapel prayer continues on to this day, 6 in the morning to 7 in the morning, Monday through Friday. Unique things were happening. People knew how to pray, understood what it was, and the richness of just coming out of a time with God. And you know that where you're not multitasking, you know, riding down the highway saying, well, man, I'm praying. No, no, you intentionally sit down, have time with God. Profound. Also, 2006 was healing the sick in 2006. We handed out little oil vials to everybody. And we just encourage you, this is what the Word of God says. Signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So let's do what God asks us as humans only can do. Go lay hands on the sick. And then God says, I'll do what only God can do. I'll heal the sick. Oh man, did we have some wonderful, miraculous things happening in 2006. 2007 was handing out heaven. In 2007. 2007, we were praying for and just sharing how to get to heaven through Jesus Christ. And we handed out license plate frames for your automobiles. I still have one on my truck. Anybody else have one of those still at home? I mean, some of you still do. I mean, they're hanging over your toilet dispenser in the bathroom. Who knows? We're glad that you have that. Handing out heaven in 2007. And we just said, go on our website. It was awesome. 2008 was fasting in faith in 2008. Man, that was a unique journey that we started talking about fasting and what it was all about. Fasting with faith, because we recognize this, how Jesus told the disciples, said, Lord, how come we couldn't heal the lad? How come we couldn't cast out that demon from that boy who had epileptic seizures? And Jesus said that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move that mountain. Just move that baby. Go. But, this kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. So we went at it. We did seasons per month doing over things, whether it was family, whether it was jobs. We were fasting, praying. There were breakthroughs. Things that were mountainous became little stumbling pebbles. I mean, oh man, it was an amazing time. 2009, we had Scripture is Mine. In 2009, we were all about Bible memorization. Every calendar that was mailed to our home, we had 4 scriptures, memorizing a verse per week. That was wonderful. We went with the 3 M's, remember that? Not M&M, 3 M's. That was basically memorize, meditate, and then minister the Word of God. And man, devil could not shake you. Because you said, get out of here, it is written. Man, I'm telling you, standing on the Word, that was just fun. Absolute. And many of you are still reciting those verses when doing, sometimes combating things that just want to plague your mind. Say, nope, I'm going with what God says. Then we have 2010. That was equipping the next gen. Man, we made just real inroads into saying, what can we do to help our teenagers, the next generation? We invested in, brought in leadership. 2011 was eliminating leaven. Leaven in 2011. Leaven biblically is just that thing like leaven in dough causes just everything to be affected. We wanted to just kind of do some temple cleansing. It was great. Just what it would, just make sure we eliminated those things. You know how you just get a little closer to God and then all of a sudden something starts kind of resurrecting its ugly head again. That was a great time of some real holiness. 2012, serving Christ well. In 2012, we went into the sit and serve. Many of you are aware of that. We encourage you with three services, really about an hour. Come on. You can give a couple hours a day. So let's sit during 1 hour where you feed and enjoy and get encouraged. And let's serve God in another hour before you go home. Just serve ushering, whether it's ministering to the children. Man, how exciting sit and serve has continued to be. And then we looked at 2013, growing in a team in 2013. Man, many churches were just flourishing. Things were happening. You just realized, let's just get some teamwork doing. Some of our great experiences going on with nails in his hands, fabulous. Then 2014, what was that theme? It's so long ago. Anybody help me there? Thank you. Seeing the unseen in 2014. And what a great year that's been. Some of us have seen things that God has for us, and we have taken hold of that by faith, by faith. And so today, I want to introduce to you our theme, 2015. As you can see so clearly, even on the PowerPoint, it's multiplying life teams in 2015. Multiplying, we're believing that God's using you and me to disciple somebody, discipling somebody, be it one-on-one or one among four, and that life team would multiply and that those people, once they're kind of encouraged and enriched, they go and disciple somebody else. And it becomes a life team. Not somebody is just talking about what it is to just do a, you know, kind of like a journeyman job where we learn a trade. That's good and that should happen. But we're talking about what it is to just, man, have a life that says, man, what a great life in Christ and how powerful that is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 is our scripture reference that we are making. And you'll notice on the logo that we have, not only is it a group of people holding hands, but it also is the sign of multiplication. It's an X, the X factor. But anyway, we're looking at something in the lower right-hand corner. It is the old standard product that is talked about still in business sectors, which says, make sure you teach somebody what you know. Work yourself out of a job. And it's the old phrase that looks just like this. That's why it's up there. So we remember what it means to multiply life teams. It is just this. I do. Come here, young man. Come here. I do. You watch. Okay? Now I'm going to do and you help. All right? Now you do and I help. Now you do, and I'm going to watch. Now you go and do, and someone else watches. And the multiplication just swirls. And as we take a look here at our passage, let's pray. Father, thank you once again for helping Hope Chapel to be a church of health, to be a church of happiness and satisfaction. Lord, I'm satisfied with you. You're the reason why that is. And may everyone know and enjoy what you have for us, and start now by speaking through this message and through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a look. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and our first point is, you can see on your notes, everyone should be discipled by someone. We're looking here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul is writing a young man. He's young, but he's a pastor of a church that Paul basically preached the gospel, set things in order, said, okay, Timothy, you're mature enough, you're young, but you're mature enough, you're now the spiritual leader of this fellowship. In verse 2 of chapter 2 says, in the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Now, what we're taking a look at here is mentoring. Mentoring. We could say coaching, whatever term. In other words, we could ask you, what is it that you're going to leave to the next generation? What is it that you're going to pass on to that other person in your life? What is that legacy? Could you name that? What is it they take a look and say, man, I am so glad I had that time with you, that short but brief time of 5, 2 weeks, whatever it is, because I have been influenced in a great way. Everybody in Scripture, it seems like there were always those mentors. Man, you had Timothy, had the Apostle Paul. You had Mark, who was mentored by Barnabas. You had Joshua, who was mentored by Moses. And you had Elisha, who was mentored by Elijah. When we take a look here, it's important because we really don't want to just settle down and just be in that mode. Sometimes people can be in this thinking, well, my life's okay. I've not hurt anybody. I've never hurt anybody. I'm a law-abiding citizen. Is that all your contribution? Don't you want to invest in another person's life? Don't you want to have what you know as a solid background be able to pass to somebody else? And the joy of it being is that they would get it in such a way they would pass it down to somebody else somewhere. Multiplication. That old thing, if you can repeat what you and I have just learned, you got it. Nobody can take it away from you. But if you can't, it's lost maybe forever. And sometimes it takes a season being with a person in order for that to take place. So passing on to the next generation, the older to the younger. It's interesting as we take a look here that everybody needs to be discipled by somebody. Let's look here at verse 5. I'm in chapter 1, same book, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul's writing to Timothy. Check out what he says about this young man. You got to see it in print. Verse 5, chapter 1. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Check that out. Oh, check that out. Paul is saying to Timothy, bro, I see when I recall the genuineness of your faith as a man, instantly, I'm recalling your grandmother's faith. Instantly, it goes back to your mother Eunice's faith. And now I'm convinced because I see these ladies, I know it's in you too. Man, it's that kind of enrichment to the next generation. Can you imagine Timothy sitting on his mother's lap while she's reciting Bible verses or sharing what God has done? Like Psalms 145 says, that to declare the praises from one generation to the next of what God has done. Paul the Apostle says, when I call to remembrance the genuineness of you, I've got to give credit to your grandmother and to your mother. Now I'm convinced what I saw in those ladies, it's in you too. I'm telling you, Timothy benefited from that godly heritage in his home. That's what's going to really make the difference in our society and in our church this year. Every student of church history is familiar with the story of Susanna Wesley. She's got some famous sons out there at one time in history, Charles Wesley, John Wesley, amazing men of God, shakers of Christianity, especially in the Eastern Seaboard. We sing some of those old hymns. Amazing men. What we know about Susanna is that she had 19 children, and 9 of them survived to adulthood. Susanna, every day, prayed for her children for 2 hours and then went about educating them in just their studies. But Susanna, one thing about Susanna, she was the youngest of 24 children, and her father was a very famous minister in that day. Susanna's godly heritage, she said, I'm going to bring this into my family. And then you get the Wesley boys. Man! It takes 2 generations to maintain that godly heritage. Very powerful. Everybody needs to be discipled by somebody. Oftentimes we're finding that we really just kind of want to learn on our own. No, don't tell me anything. I'm going to be okay. But we're taking a look at something this year, how important it is Paul says, when I recall the genuineness of your faith, man, you got it going on. And Timothy was the Apostle Paul's mainstay, the main man, and he was just a young dude. And so you can imagine, who do we think? Paul's so good. No, he saw something in this guy, and I want to thank your mother. I want to thank your grandmother. And if you have those individuals in your life, glory to God. Number two, everyone should be discipling somebody. Discipling somebody. That transferring of values, which is so important to the next generation. It's applicable, that area is, on several levels. And when I say levels, probably the four main ones are always in this regard: a parent mentoring children, a pastor mentoring believers, leaders mentoring followers. You got to have a follower. And then naturally, teachers, and bless those teachers, wherever and whoever you are here and in society, mentoring students. It could also be, and also looked at, that even in the home, that a husband even mentors the wife, where he says, honey, I've spent some time with God. Here's what I feel God has spoken to me, and here's a Bible passage. That the wife would do the same to mentor the husband. Honey, I've been praying for you in the situation that we're facing. I feel this is what God is saying to us. Man, that is profound. And that the parents would then do the same to the children and saying, hey, here's our task. But God's truth, and that's the important thing, God's truth, and this is what we want to really take a look at today, how that the gospel is really so necessary and the foundation for all of civilization. The gospel being Jesus Christ is God. He is the source of all life. He is the source of eternal life. And that when we look here at our verse that we're claiming for our theme, 2 Timothy 2:2. Don't you like it? 2:2:2. I like that. Because a mentoring group, once again, is one-on-one, or maybe one with four people. But the Apostle Paul says, in these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he say, well, who should I mentor? Well, we're using the word fat, an acronym, fat. Now, we all look a little portly after the holidays, don't we? I mean, I put on my loose sweater just because, you know, things are feeling a little bit tight here. But hey, that's just the way we roll in my family. Nothing gets thrown out. My saying, hey, I'd rather throw it up than throw it out. So give me that fudge or whatever bad cookies there. No, don't throw it out. That's mine. But we're using the word fat as in really the acronym of faithful, available, teachable. Faithful, available, teachable, fat. Are you fat? Nobody's going to be able to mentor you or me if we're never around. I'm never available. I'd like to be there. You can count on me. Maybe when I get my schedule cleared up, are you available? Commit these truths to faithful men, and they'll be faithful to pass it on, that legacy, to somebody else. Are they teachable? Sometimes it's hard. That old phrase, can't teach an old dog new tricks, it's very real. Very real. I've often said it's easy to teach people, very hard to lead people. Not everybody wants to go. Not everybody's willing to go. Sometimes change is very, very scary for people. That's why I'm grateful God puts it in His Word to say, this is the way. Walk in it. Go for it. When we take a look here, our task, our primary application, is really to bring in the Word of God. Paul is talking to Timothy on. He's taking a look at the Word of God. That the Word of God, the good news that came to you, when you and I learn, it is not just to say, oh, that makes sense, that's mine, and then it stalls out there. It's never been God's way. He said, you go. I want you to go. Go into the great, great commission. Go into all the world, baptizing people who believe in me, and teach them, Matthew 28:18-19, teach them all things that I've taught you. And lo, by the way, I'm with you to the ends of the earth. Man, as you do this, I am with you. I am believing God is really with us in this year's theme. He has in others, but I think if you say, there's some things of value, character quality I want to install and teach, How great is that? Check out verse 1 of chapter 2. Still in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the verse before it. Paul says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Take a look at the terms of endearment. You, my son. It wasn't the biological father. Man, Paul the apostle was saying, you and I have a relationship here. You, my son in the faith. It's the apostle Paul that says, hey, you got a lot of teachers out there, but very few fathers in the faith. You, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace. What he's using that word grace, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Very specific. Very specific. Be strong in the reality of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. Be strong in that. And that word strong means, man, you protect it. You guard it. Because you can lose it. Be strong. Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it can be lost. It can be lost. And he says, and when you get a hold of it and get it strong, verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Well, what was it that he wanted to teach them? Look at verse 13, chapter 1. Verse 13, chapter 1. There's that word again. Hold fast. Hold fast. Protect it. Guard it. And teach it to others. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. He's in us. We'll be talking about the Holy Spirit because you and I can't go out and share anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. Can't. You can go in your own power and have just that. You can go in your own authority, but I'd sure like to go in the authority of Christ and speak in the name of Jesus. There's a difference in a Christian when they realize the authority they have and the power of the Holy Spirit. The teaching is much more effective. When we take a look here, Apostle Paul saying, hold fast that pattern of sound words that's in Jesus Christ, the gospel. Pass it on. It can be lost. There's a danger of losing it. Verse 15, he talks about a couple of dudes that cut and run from him. He says, this you know, verse 15 of chapter 1, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. And then he talks about a good guy that hangs tough with them. Man, there are those that say, I'm no longer with you. We could have that pattern happen where you just spend a lot of time with somebody and they just get swept away with the cares of this planet Earth again. But you, dear ones, there are Christians that need somebody to mentor them. Show them what it is. It's a winnable, livable, enjoyable life living for Jesus. It's a powerful thing. The Apostle Paul's writing 2 Timothy, and this is, they call it the prison epistle. He is going to be martyred soon. Chapter 4, he talks about it. It says, the time of my departure is at hand, and a crown is laid up for me. I mean, it's pretty awesome to walk with God so close that you know time of departure is at hand. There's been other times he wasn't sure in Philippians 1. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whether I get out of this prison, I don't know. This time he knows. So the words he's passing on to Timothy, the words God's passing on to, who knows? You know you're walking close enough to God that if you have how many more years? Does God guaranteed you so many years? Do you know that? Therefore, wouldn't I want to leave a legacy to another generation that they would teach what you lived out and taught them as well. So you take a look here. There is four generations. Philip Jensen says four generations that basically just assume the gospel is going to be passed on, and this is how it gets lost. The first generation, the gospel is accepted. Maybe some of you this last year, you accepted Jesus. Maybe even this morning, some of you are saying, man, I came into church, and I just know I need something happening. You accepted Jesus. Anybody in your family, any relatives born again? not church attendant, but you know a born-again Christian because, man, they live and breathe the Word of God and make decisions accordingly. Is that your generation? Are you it? Then the second, the gospel is assumed, the second generation. Yeah, just my mom and dad's Christian. I'm in America. I guess we're all Christians. We're not Muslim. We're not Hindu. I guess we're Christians. We're just assumed. And then third, the gospel is confused. I think everybody can come to heaven. Everybody, there's all different approaches. That's confusion. And the fourth, the gospel is lost. The gospel's lost. Nobody knows where to find it. The generations have not passed on the gospel. There's nobody that says this is what Jesus does and this is how he operates. The most important safeguard to the truth. It is not an accident. We were going through rediscovering biblical foundations, biblical truths. It was not. You've been with us. We spent those things. If you don't know it, go on the website, check it out, get reacquainted with things. The early church died for these truths because it was logged in the Word of God. Can you pass that on to your children, to those children we're asking you to help mentor here at the church? To those adults. When I talk children, it doesn't have to be physical. We have a lot of young Christians in the faith, very immature, doing well society-wise, but they went the quickest temptation or trial come, they're out of here. They don't know how to respond because the old way of doing things doesn't work anymore. Let's try God's way. Let's help them. Well, when we take a look at verse 15, check it out here. Verse 15, chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says this, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now the Apostle Paul's telling Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved, which means it's character now. Make sure you've got a good attitude. Make sure, isn't it your attitude, your character, your integrity that really brings success? Isn't it the lack thereof that makes us feel like I can't tell anybody about Jesus? If they discover what I'm really into, So I'll just be quiet. And people just whisked off into hell because nobody brought the good news to them. Sometimes relatives. But the attitude is so important. Isn't it true? Study attributed to Harvard University found that when a person gets a job, 85%, the reason why they got that job is because they had a good attitude. 15% because they were smart enough to take on that job. Isn't that amazing? That's their study. Isn't a good attitude important? Hey, you can't even be a Christian without a good attitude. Anybody agree with that? Huh? We've all been with like, you're saved? Come on. You can't even be a good leader anywhere without the right attitude. You cannot be a good student without a good attitude. You cannot be a good parent without the right attitude. You can't be a teacher without a good attitude. You can't even be a good salesman without a right attitude. You can't be a good employer without the right attitude. You can't even be a good employee without a good attitude. You won't be around. People will much rather work with people that get along with people with good attitudes. Be in that good role is so important. The Apostle Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. It means get out there in public. Get out there in public. Don't hide back. Christians that hide, we never get them out there. Then we just, that's an indication something could be wrong. Maybe they're injured or offended. Oftentimes, I'm a person, we're into something we shouldn't be. Man, accountability is so important. Jesus said in John 3, hey, man, people, reason why they don't come to the light because man loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So we hide. That's we just need somebody to come along and mentor you and say, you know what, let's just show you how to really live life and make it count this way. So important. And creating an environment is hanging out with people with good attitudes. Good attitudes. and then being able to see what that person's capacity, God-given purpose is all about. That's a beautiful thing. Now, that's a good mentor. Who are you and what is it that God made you to be? You don't tell a fruit pit or a fruit seed what kind of tree it's going to be. You just get the right environment for it to start to flourish. Isn't that true? The same with our theme, multiplying life teams. What is it that's going to help you grow? What is it that would help you disciple someone else? You say, well, I don't know where to begin. Then let's get you discipled. Let's get you signed up for OSL, Operation Solid Lives. If you're not involved in a discipleship program, friends, that's part of God. God says, teach them all things that I've taught you. If you've never had somebody help mentor you in something, man, that's just not the way life is. Anywhere, anywhere. Jesus even equated the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, listen, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. That's so wrong to say, I don't need you. People will say, I don't need the church. Oh, man, do you know how out of place that really is? I tell them, listen, I love the church. God works in the local church. Matter of fact, it was Jesus who named it. It was Jesus who founded it. He told Pete, you're the rock, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm going to grow it. I'm going to protect it. You need to be in church. You need to be in church. Well, I don't like that church. Hey, there's a lot of churches out there, huh? Huh? Get into one, get planted, let's go for it. How great is that? We're looking for fat people. Faithful, available, teachable. We know what it is to kind of wrangle young people in, but man, whatever it takes to get them so that they get around you with the right environment and the right attitude, they're going to flourish. They're going to flourish. And then that generation will tell the next generation, we'll have the next Wesley Bros, the next little Timothys, the next little Amy Simple McPherson's out there preaching the gospel and telling people, man, this is what God is all about. You can be a part of that. Get discipled. Be discipled by somebody. And our third point, each disciple group produces a life-giving results. It's so important. You will produce life. I'm going to welcome our worship team up. We had a great New Year's Eve ceremony. My concluding message for 2014 was this, and this is the part of the message. We knew that our theme was seeing the unseen in 2014. And we were reminded out of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 19 to 21, do not build treasures for yourself here on earth. Do not build, but build treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thieves break in and steal. And that's an important thing. In Matthew 12, verse 35, he says, because a good man out of the good treasure of his heart produces good things. That's what we're wanting to have happen. Lord, change my heart. I want my life to produce good things. He says an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will produce evil things. The right environment is so critical, friends. You have to help somebody to become that good. I wanted to make mention of 1 Corinthians 5. And if you have your Bible still, let's open that to 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 5, 11. I think it's worth having talking points. That verse came to me early this morning while praying for you. 1 Corinthians 5, 11. The Apostle Paul just says, hey, you can't escape godless people in society. You actually got to go out there and keep the gospel and preach it. But when that godlessness and bad conduct comes into the church, beware, don't associate. Now that's a shocker. And he's writing this to the church at Corinth. So 1 Corinthians 5, 11, he says, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. So he's talking about one who says, hey, I'm a Christian. who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. That's pretty sober. That's about straight up. And I didn't say it. God's word did. Why did he say that? Because 1 Corinthians 15:33, he finally says, hey, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You don't think you're going to go and change that environment unless you've got a plan, because they'll change you. Mentoring, having life teams happen, people need you. If you don't know what it takes, get into our groups. There's plenty of activities this year. I'm always impressed. Ainsley and I are always, the healthy marriages, the happy homes. We do a marriage seminar. It's always those couples. They just want to keep that marriage going strong. The great parenting skills, man, there they are again. That same, the ones that need it, they're not fat. Not even available. Can't even teach them. We weep for them. Maybe you might have what it takes to bring them alongside to teach them how to be that model employee, that great contributor to society. Well, let's put right treasures in our heart. Let's make sure. And how do we do that? Through two gates, the eye gate and the ear gate. What we see, what we hear. Very important. If only what you see is trouble all around you, you just listen to media, trouble, you'll have a troubled heart. That's how it happens. If only you see your lack, we just don't have what it takes to be somebody in church and help people. You just see your lack, then you have an insecure heart. That's how that treasure gets planted there. If you just see what other people have, then you'll have a covetous heart. You see, hey, I'm just going to make a lot of money. Nothing wrong with that. I think there's nobler calls in this life than just acquiring a lot of money. But you have to beware, if it's just about money, you'll have a very, very greedy heart and can't share with anybody. So friends, this year, multiplying life teams, we're going to multiply. There are people that need to have the life of God come in, and I'm glad that you're here. Thank you. We want to pray over our theme, and I'm going to invite you right now, if you just close your Bible and let me pray for you. Would you stand to your feet? What an awesome day, and thank you. Fourth day here. Here we go. Man, four square, fourth day. I just love that. Just close your eyes with me for a moment. It won't be much longer. If you're here this morning, and you say, you know, I really came into church because I just know I cannot go through another year like I did. I need Jesus in my life. I believe he's the answer I'm looking for. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. Just put the hand up and drop it down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else that would even add this and say, you know what, I know about Jesus, been playing games. I'm probably the most loose and lukewarm Christian. I'm ready to give my life all, rededicate my life to the Lord. Anyone else like that, just put your hand up and slide it back down as well. Thank you. Thank you. Got it. Thank you. Go ahead and put those hands down. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's take care of that, because we can't help mentor anybody if that heart is still in a very troubled state. Anybody else want their heart renewed? Raise your hand. Just say, man, I just want to help people. Yep, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Well, let's pray this prayer together, all of us. It is that prayer to invite Christ in and ask God, which is so important. Please, again, Lord, I'm going to ask, forgive me of my sins. And watch the miracle happen. But let's all pray out loud so nobody feels singled out. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for me and rose to life for me. And I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins that I have committed against you and against others. And I believe you're the Savior of the world. Now, dear Jesus, come into my life. Right now, come in. Be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be so I can help my family. I can help my faith family. I can help where I live and bring life where death once was. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We have Bibles. If you prayed that prayer, and now that you're a Christian, on your way out, make sure you see Justin. Please take one. Please take one. You know somebody that needs one because you talked with them this holiday time. Take one. Please do. We'll have plenty of them. If we don't have them, we'll find them. I want to pray off a blessing, a couple of things too, and that is this. I want to just add, we have individuals that will come and pray for you. If they would come forward, and you just know that there's things in your life, there are ingredients that just still persist that I just need to break through from, I need to be set free from. Let these individuals pray for you. Watch a miracle take place. There's power in confession, especially confessing God's word says, man, this shouldn't be a part, and this should be a part of my life now. Watch what God will do. And maybe you may have even had where you said, will you pray for me, my new journey in Jesus? I just prayed that prayer. Man, I want to start the new year off right. How powerful that's going to be. So I want to encourage you. And I know your family will wait for you. If you do have children, please make sure you get your children first and foremost. Well, I know we have a sign up for OSL there. I'm hoping we'll see some of you there. Thank you for making this year outstanding. It's going to be a great year. Let me pray you off a great blessing. I know we talked about announcements. Please read your bulletin. But Father, we want to thank you. Would you just cup your hands right now? Father, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for those dear ones that have professed faith in you and have indicated the same by praying that prayer and by your faithfulness to come in, eradicating sin because of the death you suffered for each of us. No sin, no sin, no sin in the homes, no sin in our relationships. Lord, we're free. We're free. And Lord, we're free to take on the kingdom of God. Lord, we're asking you now. There are people we know that just need diligent, faithful, teachable times from us personally. Help me. Help us to be all we can be to see life flow in our community, in our homes, especially at Hope Chapel. Lord, we love you. Bless each and every one. It's going to be a powerful, very prosperous, and successful 2015 in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friends. Happy New Year. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.